This week on Potlatch, Clarence Antiochia commenting on the Land Claims Act, Emily Brown addressing the Festival of Native Arts, and Skeeter Malloy interviewing Dwight Schnelly of Ancada. First, this report from the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was passed in 1971, and eligible natives from Alaska were given 2 years to register for benefits they were entitled to under the act. At this time, some 79,000 people are participating in the settlement, which involves over 40 million acres of land and over $962 million. But evidently, there are more people who could share in this settlement. People who, for one reason or another, didn't get enrolled in time to share in the benefits. The Alaskan Area Director for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Clay Antiochia, says, however, it's still not too late. Congress has opened the door for those who were missed in the first go-around.
The passage of another law, Public Law 94-204, which is commonly called the Omnibus Bill, which makes many corrections to the first claims bill, also recognized that there were some people missed and therefore provided another one-year opportunity to enroll. And therefore, we'll get those people who previously were applied late or didn't enroll at all. So it's another opportunity to get benefits from the act.
Antiochia says there are 500 known applicants who didn't make the deadline in 1973.
Well, I think there's probably several reasons, one of which is purely on the basis of individuals' procrastination, if you will, a lot like persons filing their income tax on April 15th every year, waiting for the last day to enroll. They know of the aware of the fact that there's an enrollment and they received information on it but never got around to actually filing. That is one possible reason. Another is that the word that we sent out just didn't reach people. We again point out that we tried to aim our publicity campaign in all the centers that we knew of where there was large concentrations of Alaska Natives, but it's conceivable as well that we went there are people that are in other places that are not in highly concentrated areas that just didn't get the word.
Antiochia says they have a year to reach all those who might be eligible but who still don't have information about their right to share in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement. There'll be a massive media campaign launched in newspapers, television, radio and magazines, and even media in other countries. He says there may be between 1,500 and 5,000 still not enrolled. While that's a small percentage of the 79,000 already enrolled, he says, the benefits are extensive enough to exhaust every possibility in locating eligible candidates.
The Act provides for 12 regional corporations which are totally Native-owned, and the land and the dollar benefits go to these 12 corporations. In addition to that, all eligible Alaska Natives become stockholders of one of these 13 corporations and will receive cash benefits as well of not less than 10% of the total $962.5 million. So there's definitely cash benefits from that as well as the corporations develop and as the corporations invest and develop their lands. Those benefits will be distributed to their stockholders as any other major corporation would do.
Clay Antiochia, Area Director for the Bureau of Indian Affairs for Alaska. Anyone of Alaska Native blood who thinks he might be eligible to share in the Native Claim Settlement should contact the Alaska Native Enrollment Office at Pouch 7-1971 in Anchorage, Alaska. This is Tana Beebe for Indian Network News, a biweekly broadcast sponsored by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in cooperation with this station.
This BIA report was produced in Washington for distribution nationwide. It's interesting to find what they're saying about Alaskans. Now, a Yupik song by the Nome Belts High School Dancers.
Yeah.
the Nome Belts Dancers performing at the Festival of Native Arts last March on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. Now we hear a song by Edith Dugosiak and Emily Brown, followed by comments from Emily Brown during Inupiaq night at the festival.
Clapping. A little while ago I was sleepy, but after the belt girl started dancing, I woke up. I would like to make a few comments on the works of the anthropologist of our country, Alaska. I didn't study for nothing about what the anthropologist and archaeologist and all the rest of the East have said about the Eskimo songs and their dances and their literature. I think some of you, I hope there's not an anthropologist out here in the audience, because they've said Eskimos have no rhythm, Eskimos have no plots in their literature, their stories are dead. And so, we're proving to you tonight that Eskimos do have rhythm. And also, their stories have plots, believe you me. When our books are published, you read them. You find that they are the most interesting stories you ever read. And I would like very much to tell a story about this game, stick game. And before I do that, I would like very much to thank the Belts High School students for practicing possibly for the whole fall and year to give us good time tonight. And I dedicate my game to Belts High School girls. Not only girls, but the boys too. Also, we've always enjoyed barrel dancers. You know why? I think you know the meaning of vim, don't you? Vim, V-I-M. Not, they're not dead dancers, are they? No, they sure can shake themselves up and sing from the bottom of their hearts. We need to clap more for them so they'll come again next time. There isn't a single Eskimo, Indian, or Aleut or what have you, Alaska Native people who cannot understand English. I'm not a very good Inupiaq speaker. I have hard time in ANLC. I work there. And if you ask Emily Wilson, she would tell you Emily Brown is a poor speller. I am. You know why? Because I have a little bit of Russian blood in me, that's why. But I'm going to prove to you that I'm three-fourths Eskimo, and my father and my mother and my aunts and uncles taught me some of these games that I'm preserving for you. And I would like to tell the history of this game. It's a very, very, very ancient game. Many years ago, possibly 800 years ago, or maybe earlier or later, the Eskimos and Indian people had wars. Yes, they scalped each other's hair and head, I guess. And that's the way they had wars. And so, several wars passed. Sometimes their children would be lost. Excuse my big voice, that doesn't come from an Eskimo. And so, the people of certain villages invented this game. You know why? Because some of those women and some of those children would be kidnapped by their enemies. And so they put a law in their villages and said, we will not allow our wives and our children to play and be outdoors at night. And in order to keep them indoors, they invented this game. It has history. It's historical. And if you see it in the market, please buy it. I didn't learn that from my culture, the Eskimos. I learned it from a white man. Hooray! We can sell if we like. We can buy if we like. We don't have to use the beads, trading beads anymore. But you know, I have great respect for cultures of Alaska. They're great people. And I don't have to stand here and tell you why they're great. You saw it yourself over here. I would like very much to thank the managers of this festival. They worked hard and they did research work and they wrote letters to western part of Alaskan people. So they did great job.
Emily Brown. Now with an example of that vim that Emily talked about, the top of the world dancers from Barrow. Barrow Dancers. Now another interview from the KOTZ program, Kotzebue Today, hosted by Skeeter Malloy. Her guest this time, Dwight Schnell of ANCATA.
ANCATA stands for the Alaska Native Commission on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse.
Uh-huh. And you're a media specialist.
I'm the media specialist. And, first of all, ANCATA has three branches, the media, offices. We have a training component and also the technical assistant support services. Mm-hmm. These three, and I'm the media specialist, yes.
What is that, what is all that, does that cover?
Right now, the media specialist works in radio and television. I'm also the editor of the Ancada Answer, which is our monthly newsletter, and this is sent to all the villages in Alaska, also to the health and alcoholism offices in the state. Besides that, I'm also working with developing booklets and stuff like that on the topics of alcoholism, alcohol abuse.
Uh-huh. And you're changing, you were mentioned earlier, that you're trying to change the attitude of the people toward alcoholism. Is that basically?
That's basically the purpose. The media branch of ANCADA is funded under a program called the Alaska Public Education Project. And the basic goal of this project is changing the attitudes of the Alaskan public toward alcohol drinking, and in particular the alcoholic, alcohol abuse, how we feel are towards somebody who drinks. So often, you know, you have a friend or a relative who has a drinking problem, and people tend to turn off and ignore him. It was just recently that we could sit down and talk about alcoholism or about somebody having a drinking problem. Before that, we kind of ignored it. And the purpose of the project is to change these attitudes.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been in existence?
The ANCADA itself originally came out of the rural ROLCAP, the Rural Alaska Community Action Program, in 1972, and I believe the APEP project, as it is now funded, started in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in existence now for about 4 years.
Uh-huh. What are the future plans in connection with the Nana region and the state of Alaska, you know, as like, you know, getting an office here and, you know, coordinating a whole bunch just for this region, or?
From the media standpoint, we don't have any plans to, ANCADA itself doesn't have any plans for opening any offices here. In our other branch, the support services, which is, we call it ANSAP, which is the ANCADA support services, they have a technical assistant stationed here with Manila. From the media standpoint, we don't have any plans to have anyone stationed mm-hmm. here.
If we wanted to get on your mailing list, how would we go about doing that?
You can write to me in Anchorage. I can remember my address. I've been up here a week. Let's see. You could just write to me, or just write to the editor, the ANCADA Answer, and that's 528 West 5th Avenue, Suite 8 in Anchorage, or you could write to your to Louise Ober in Manila here in Kotzebue, and she could forward the request to me.
Mm-hmm.
The newsletter, the ANCADA Answer, is basically it's written for rural Alaskans. So many of the newsletters that do come out from our different agencies in Alaska, whether it's an education bulletin or a health bulletin, it's written in big words. It tells who went to what meeting and who met who and how much money is going to be gotten. And the ordinary person either can't read it or isn't interested. And what we try to do is we're writing this for people in the villages, and it has plenty of pictures, and it's really easy reading, and it keeps people informed on what's happening in the area of alcohol and alcohol related type.
Mm-hmm.
things.
Okay. Well, Dwight, I wish you all the luck in your new venture of alcoholism in this area and the state of Alaska. And thank you very much for talking to Cotton Dee today.
Thank you, Skeeter.
And thank you, Skeeter Malloy and Dwight Schnell. And thanks to Folkways Records for this selection by Peter Lafarge.
From the Indian Reservation to the governmental school, well, they're going to educate me to the white man's golden rule. And I am learning quickly, for I've learned to be ashamed. And I come when they call Billy, though I've got an Indian name. But there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty near. Now when they think they've changed me, cut my hair to meet their needs, will they call me white or Indian, quarter blood or just half breed? Say, let me tell you, Mr. Teacher, who is going to make me right? In 600 years of fighting, not one Indian has turned to white. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty. Well, you thought that I knew nothing when you brought me here to school. Just another empty Indian, just America's first fool. But I can tell you stories that are burnt and dried and old. In the shadow of their telling walks the thunder, brave and bold. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty. Why, there's Lone Pine and Sequoia, Handsome Lake and Sitting Bull. There goes Mangus, Colorado, with his sleeves so red and full. There goes Crazy Horse the Legend, and those who bit off Custer's soul. They are dead, but yet they're living with the great Geronimo. And there are drums beyond the mountain, Indian drums that you can't hear. There are drums beyond the mountain, and they're getting mighty. Well, you may teach me this land's history, but we taught it to you first. We broke your hearts, we bent your journeys, broken treaties left us cursed. Even now, you'd have to cheat us even though you think us tame. In our losing, we found proudness. In your winning, you found shame. And there are drums beyond the mound, Indian drums you cannot hear. There are drums beyond the mound, and they're getting mighty near.
Unasha umioknaji programmerspje bigaji. Janik nijugufji igaranarapkutwani, KUAC, University of Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Winding its way through Congress is a new bill that would bring more money to Alaska under the Native Land Claims Omnibus Bill. Some of this money would provide for medical care, as Senator Ted Stevens explains.
I have obtained approval of $1.6 million to fund the amendments to the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act that passed on the first of this year, and also we've added $3 million for additional medical contract care, which will be available for all of the areas, particularly the 10 Alaskan hospitals that have contracts with the Indian Health Service may participate in that money. The subcommittee has also put money in this bill for the design of the Federal Bureau of Land Management District Office in Fairbanks and for the design and planning of a new hospital for Nome. The bill is on the Senate floor now. Having received the approval of the full Appropriations Committee, I believe it will pass the Senate And these matters, of course, will be in conference with the House.
That's Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Now equal time for the Democrats. Alaska Senator Mike Gravel explains that on June 10th, the Senate Interior Committee holds oversight hearings for the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And Senator Gravel explains the purpose of the oversight hearing.
Well, by and large, there's still some rough edges in the implementation of the Native Act, and this had come to the attention of my staff and the Interior Committee staff last February in Alaska. And we were able to secure from the Interior Committee a hearing so that we could take up the issue as to how the Native Claims Act is being implemented by the Interior Department. It's a normal oversight function and something that should be done when you're talking about legislation as important as the Native Land Claims. And so I'm hopeful that with this hearing, if there are some problems with respect to actions taken by the Secretary or not taken by the Secretary, or the rules in the implementation of this legislation, that all of this will come forward in the hearing, and then we can make a judgment as to whether or not the Congress should step in and smoothen out some of these activities.
Alaska Senator Mike Gravel. This is Jeff Kennedy, and thanks for listening to Potlatch. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.